also to the Honorable Kemishi Kuwani from Rwanda. They traveled very far from a beautiful province. And the HOD in Kamba. Thank you.
That you are present. Also to the National Treasury, Mrs. Karekwa. She's due to go and write exams within the near future. And we wish her well and all success in her exams. We also recognize the presence of the AG's office. Good morning. Why is it so far? Come closer. And Dr. Dumasani Yankis from the PBO, welcome. Welcome at this meeting and all other staff members. Honourable members, there's one apology, and that is for Honourable Motara. That's not well. That's the only apology I received. We are not dealing today with Gauteng. Why? Because the MEC can't be here. So MEC is not here. We won't engage with that province because the MEC is a political head. We are contemplating two dates, the 21st or the 22nd of June, depending on the outcome of the program committee meeting tomorrow morning of the NCOP. So you will be advised in due course regarding the engagement with Gauteng. The other provinces are set to meet with us. On the MEC and your delegation, what is the objective of these meetings with the provincial treasuries? It's good governance, sound financial management. How does the funds that is allocated is spent? And the money must be spent wisely. We look at the fiscal position, what is your budget, own revenue, unauthorized expenditure, irregular expenditure, fruitless and wasteful expenditure. What has been returned to the National Treasury? And that will give us the picture of each province. Although we get a whole view of all the departments through the presentation of the National Treasury, but also the provincial presentation. So that is the objective, and that is the outline. And Mrs. Gerekwa, immediately I'm handing to you to take us through your National Treasury presentation. All the members, it was mailed to us, the maroon document. Thank you. You may proceed. I'm going to give you 30 minutes.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Starting with the adjustment budget that was made, tabled last year, November, just to note that the province did get money in the grant. They benefited from two gazettes, DORA, in terms of they got money for malaria in the region of Kruger National Park. And also they got, they benefited from the stopping and reallocation of the Human Settlement Development Grant. They got 100 million from that. So in total, they got 108 million from national government.
Why did they get
that? Because they got 100 million because their spending was much better than Gauteng and Northwest and Limpopo. And then in their case, they did add also some adjustment from the provincial coffers. They added 465. But if you look at the total adjustment, you will know that members that they did underspend by 484.9 million in terms of the preliminary numbers we had from the province, because now that departments have submitted numbers at the Office of the Auditor General, there might be some differences in terms of the current numbers. If you look at the table below, you will see, will note that most of the money, part of it went to the COXTA because of the 100 million. The benefiting department there, they got 100 million from National, and also, but the main from probably the equitable share, and it was the education and health that benefited more from that part. And we'll see that the bulk of the money went to goods and services. And it's encouraging to see that this province, too, they are kind of cleaning up their personnel numbers, and there was some fat, it would seem, that they reduced the budget by 296.6 from compensation of employees. The next slide just shows that they did underspend, like, worth 484.9, as I indicated, and all departments in the province underspend their budgets. However, we'll see in the later slide that some departments in the third quarter they were projected to overspend, but that overexpenditure did not materialize, and mainly the expenditures from education, health, and public works, road and transport, legislature, economic development, and community safety. And the underspending in the main is capital payments, which we are worried about, that they need to deliver infrastructure. In the graph below, we see that actually in terms of the expenditure per classification, the expenditure correlates with the average of how provinces are doing. So they are really, I think, doing well in terms of, because they're just on point in terms of average, that unlike other provinces are spending more than 60% on compensation, there is less room. So in their case, they've got at least a spending 20% on goods and services, 12% on transfers, and in terms of capital, also they're spending 8% of the budget there. The next slide, I just talk about looking at education. So Mpumalanga education, they get a bigger share than what is the average, because on average, education departments are getting 41%, but in terms of education in Mpumalanga, it accounts for 43%, and we're saying is the second fastest growing. If you look at that, if you look at expenditure, they spent the expenditure from 2016-17 increased by 7.8%. In that regard, it's growing fast. But however, it's the third highest, I think, provincial expenditure if you look at what percentage they're spending on education. So the Department of Educational Funding to curtail the pressures on leave gratuity, LTSM and CETAS, and the MST, Academic Connectivity and School Sports. So in their case, they are not spending mainly on compensation of employees due to vacant posts and goods and services relating to training development. However, this is going to be a worry, because you see they underspend on this side, but however, they do still have accruals, as we'll see in the other slide.
Honourable Member, sorry to interrupt you. As we carry on, number your page. We're now on page 3. There's a mismatch between pages and numbers. So as we carry on, we are now on page 3, going to page 4.
So here, in total, the education is spent by 208 million. In terms of compensation of employees, they did underspend by 126.9. I've already indicated that. The way they can post. However, if you look at the long table on the right, we'll see that both education numbers and other employees in the department did increase by 2.2% in aggregate, with educators increasing by 733, and other personnel, which is everybody in the department, increasing by 144 warm bodies. So also here, but in terms of education, we'll see the difference between what on average province are spending and what the province is spending. So on average, they're spending 1% more than what in aggregate, because they're spending 80% of their budget on compensation of employees, which gives them room of 20% to do the rest. And we'll see that in terms of capital, payments for capital expenditure was on the lower end at 4%. In the next slide, the LTSM, the department did underspend by 28 million. However, the spending for 2017-18 was a significant improvement, because in 2016-17 they only spent 228. Now they spent 350 million, so this is an improvement. But we see that the trends also are not consistent, so it just shows that it seems like they were also topping up, because compared to 2016-17, there is a the expenditure increased. So it seems like there was a top up because in general the trends in education are not, particularly for LTSM, are not that consistent. Like if we see the graph of KZN is consistently growing, but the other provinces are just having a inconsistent trend. So if you look at the throughput rates, as much as Mpumalanga is kind of on the lower end because it's part of the, in terms of performance now, the bottom four, if you like, of let's say the metric results. But if you look at the throughput rates, both, if you look at those learners who are in grade 2 in 2007, and if you look at those who are in grade 10 who completed matric, on both cases, they are above average. For grade 2 is 39%, they're 42, so they're trying their best. We can't say it's the best because it's less than 50% of learners who managed to complete, so, but I think the trend shows that they are trying. The next slide, we look at health. The health spend 99.3% of the budget and underspend by 86 million. So we're saying in terms of expenditure, it was one of the fastest growing in the country. But when you look at the share of health to the total social services in the province is the lowest in the country. They underspend mainly on COE, so there were outstanding overtime payments and appointments to be affected. And also, just like education, the worry here is the problem with underspending on capital payments. So there was overspending on some medicine, including medicine, medical supplies, and fleet services, among others. Here we see that in terms of the bottom table, in terms of medical legal, the payments are growing, but I think in comparison to how much other provinces are paying, the amount is still smaller, and the National Department of Health has been talking about the model that the province got the best model of dealing with the medical legal claims, that other provinces need to copy that model from the province on how they're dealing with claims. In terms of compensation, the underspend was only 32.6 million, and we've seen that there was an increase of headcount in health by 178 personnel, mainly mostly it was in the nurses and doctors. But I think the worrying is that in terms of medical specialists, they are not much. So the province also is one of those that are struggling to attract the medical specialists in the country. In terms of goods and services, I've already indicated that in their case, they overspent on medical supplies. They also overspent on medicine and laboratory services, they underspent. And also property payments, there was under expenditure. So in terms of payments for capital, there was a regression because in 2016-17, the province had spent 95% of their budget. Now, health has only spent 90.9% of their budget, in summary of all those three graphs and slides. So in terms of ideal clinic, the province is not doing well because here we're looking at whether the facilities have got good infrastructure, the clinics have got good infrastructure, they've got adequate staff, they've got adequate medicine and supplies, good administrative processes and sufficient adequate bulk supplies. And now in terms of that inspection that has been done, it just shows that the province has got the second lowest percentage of facilities that are considered ideal. That probably could compete with the private sector, if you like, because when NHI comes, so they need to be in that ideal state. So if you look at those, in their case, the number of facilities that are on platinum, that is the best. They've got only five in the province. So this is a worry that they don't have a lot of ideal clinics in the province, so it's a worrying factor because we need to know what the money is buying. So in terms of conditional grant spending, we'll see that only two grants in the province spent less than 90%, which is encouraging. It's only learners with profound intellectual disabilities grant and the NTSG National Professional Training and Development Grant. So in aggregate, the province spent 98.4% of their conditional grants. In terms of human settlement, that's where the province did well, because here also they did overachieve. It's one of the few provinces that overachieved in terms of their targets. They overachieved, I think, even on both sides in terms of the site serviced and also in terms of the housing units built for that financial year. So it just, this graph is just showing the additional funding that the province received and also the performance. So in their case, they did very well in terms of achievement. So going straight to now Mpumalanga, because Gauteng is not here. So this table was just showing what the departments were projecting, which just shows that some of the projections of some departments are not really realistic, because, for instance, health was projected to overspend by 400 million. They underspend by 86 million.
On the members, do you have the page? Just hold your word. You got it?
26.
Yeah.
26.
Okay.
Okay. So end of December, after adjustment, so health, I think in the main, they were the only one, big one, that is project overspent. So, but in at the end, the province underspent, because even goods and services, the ones that are indicating that they will be overspent by 392, but in the end, it was underspent by 115. But we see that some of the pressures were real, particularly on medicine, because and medical supplies, that there was that real pressure that existed, and even at the end, it was there. Even the travel and subsistence, they project to overspend by 67.5, and it did overspend by 52. So I think there are areas where the province was on point with the projections, and the others, like even capital, the province was projected to overspend by 21 million, but at the end there was 210 million under expenditure. Then the next slide just shows the area we're worried about, that the province is not doing well in terms of infrastructure, particularly education and health. And I think for us it's worrying, because even at national level, we've been trying to build capacity within the two departments and also within public works to ensure that there is delivery of infrastructure. The next slide just shows that the accruals, that they've decreased a bit, just a bit, from 1.4 billion to 1.3. Well, it's not a bit, I suppose. 100 million could be a lot. yes. Yes, or more than cruel. So, but we see that health, that's why we're saying that underspending in comparison to accruals is not much. If we're to, if we were supposed to pay this unpaid bills in 2017-18, they would have overspent. Also, education, they do have accruals, but at least in their case, the underspending is more than this, so they could cover, if they get rollovers from this funding, they could cover their accruals. The community safety is also a department that is worrying, because the underspending was just small, but their accruals is also growing, it's at 207. And we're saying more than 200 million of the accruals are still older than 30 days, so it's worrying that this could have a negative impact on especially small businesses as well as the local economy of Mpumalanga. In terms of health, we are saying they need to improve their planning and budgeting for medicine and medical supplies, because they've been underspending for a while. And we are worried about the manner in which they procure their medicine, particularly ARVs, because now the admin services becomes huge. Accruals, that one of 850, is going to create pressure on the current budget for the department. Also, we are worried about the accumulated unauthorized expenditure for health, and also the regular expenditure for 2016-17 was 6.7 billion. So, in terms of collection of health patient fees, we believe that actually the province can do better than others do. So, in terms of medical legal claims, they had 5.2 billion of the contingent liability. But as we have seen, they had only paid 67. So that's why we're saying that the model that the province is they're using is going to help them, maybe not necessarily to pay some of this 5.2 billion at the end. Education awards about the fact that they're not funding schools properly in some instances. We're also worried about the infrastructure units that are not fully capacitated, which is compromising school delivery in the province. The province has got a high number of people with no schooling as per the statistics, as well as the higher learner school ratio. So that's what we worry about, that if you don't deliver infrastructure now, the learners won't be able to go to school in some instances because there's some probably space or the school will be crowded, overcrowded. Also, they had accumulated accruals for 2016-17 was 327, but it's encouraging that now the accruals for 17-18 is sitting at 90 million. So they have done well, really well, this department, to reduce their accruals. In economic development and tourism, yes, sir. No, it's not here. I remember it. I spoke to it earlier in the slide of accruals. I'm here, but honourable member, but I'm just honourable. I'm saying here the accruals from in 2016 were increased to 327, but in the slide, this slide, we see that I'm showing that slide 28, that the accruals now have decreased to 95 million. So I'm saying it's encouraging that education, unlike health, has managed their accruals down. In economic development and tourism, we're worried about transfers to public entities, that Omega is getting to 49% of these transfers. So we're saying despite the rationalization of public entities, Omega still continues to absorb additional functions without necessary capacity being built in that entity. We are worried about the credibility of the projections, as I've indicated earlier, that even in September there was that projection of 1.1 billion, but we must take into account that there was 600 given to the departments. However, of the 600 and odd, they underspend by 484. So in essence, the bulk of the adjustment was not spent. So we are also worried about the accruals that grew, because in 2015-16, where the province comes from, the accruals were sitting at 661.6. Now in 2016-17, they went to 1.4, but at least for 2017-18, they increased by almost 100 million to 1.3. We're worried about the challenges with infrastructure delivery, particularly education, health, because we have seen, it's evident in the expenditure that because they could not spend all their infrastructure budget. And we have noticed, because we are working with the province, that between them and public works, there is that conflict that it seems like people do not want to assume a responsibility for non-performance with regards to infrastructure projects. Also, the issue of instability in some departments, prolonged vacancies, and breakdown internal controls were the major reasons for qualified audit in most departments, as per the Auditor General report. Also, supply chain management was one of the challenges. Here we're also worried about the way the departments manage their cash, because you look at that they will have high balances in their PMG, Paymaster General account, but having at the same time having accruals at the end of the financial year. So in the end, honourable members, we are recommending that the committee know the preliminary outcome for provincial government, Mpumalanga provincial government expenditure for 2017-18 financial year. Know the fiscal risk pertaining to education and health in particular, as well as the higher costs, particularly in health, in education, in health, sorry. So members agree that capacity, particularly in education and health, we have seen that they do have a problem with infrastructure delivery, that capacity enhancements and better planning and project execution skills should be sought by these two departments to reduce underspending on certain spending items and conditional grants. Thank you, honourable members.
Thank you, Mrs. Karekwa, National Treasury. Members, the last two pages actually explain what we have to look at when we refer to Mpumalanga. The budget is 45.1 billion rand, own revenue 1.3 billion, underspending 484.9 million, accruals 1.3 billion, irregular expenditures slide 64, 10.8 billion, owed by municipalities to the province 198 million, that gives you the fiscal picture. On the MEC, we're going to give you the opportunity to make your input and address the committee. You don't have to repeat all the figures which we've seen in the National Treasury presentation, but to look at how you address your accruals, irregular expenditure, the whole question of the learner teacher support material underspending of 28.1 million rand, that is quite enormous amount. And so forth. Going forward, but also addressing our recommendations of the 2016-17 financial year, which were sent to you, well, to all provinces, what progress is being made addressing the issues that was mentioned. MEC, over to you and your team. You can introduce them. I'm going to give you 40 minutes for your presentation.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and honorable members. Just forgive me because I've got a bit of flu. Probably my voice does not come across that well. But with me on my right, I've got the HO, Ms. Nkamba, and on my right is Mr. Lori, who's responsible for the management of the revenue in the department. Chairperson, without probably wasting your time, I will take you through in brief in terms of our presentation. From the first slide until slide 19, and then the rest, I'll request that the HO continue the presentation around the remainder of the slide. But I warn them that they need to be short. I can see that it's quite a mouthful in terms of the presentation which is before you. But, Honourable Chair, we take note of the presentation by the National Treasury. I'm sure we are not differing in the most of the issues which they are raising around, in particular, our two challenge departments, which is health and education. Except that one key problem which we're currently having is the issue of maintaining the relevant skills around education. I think there is a high turnover I'm not sure we've been engaging with the department, but there is a feeling that probably the salaries or the benefits which we are offering as government, we are easily taken over by the private sector because they don't spend much time. 3 months is too much. After 3 months, they've been taken by the private sector. They will come, then after a few months, then they are gone and so on. And that worker gains us to have a sustainable personnel around, in particular the infrastructure in education and so on. Health has been much better in terms of stability around that. But I must say that probably one of the things which has created a lot of problem over the years in health is that they never had a manager or a person responsible for supply chain, which since that particular problem has been currently addressed. We are hoping that moving forward we should be able to deal with the issues which are engulfing the Department of Health. I have myself taken a discussion with the Honorable Premier recently. There is a feeling that we are becoming more worried as Cabinet around the Health Department. The preliminary indication is that we might take over this. We have not yet come to a conclusion. We might have to take over the finances for the health and run by the provincial
Don't wait too long.
Those discussions have started between myself and the Premier, but I was also mindful of the workload of taking over such a department, finances and so on. But we have started those discussions. Hopefully we'll be finding a way forward very soon with the Premier, because we believe that probably, among other things, there seems to be a lack of systems. In particular, financial system are not in place to be able for that department to do some of the things right and so on. Honorable Chair, having said that, on the presentation which I'm having, I will just try to jump some of the slides. I'm hopeful that the members, they do have the presentation, especially on the presentation which is dealing with the economic code, economic indicators and other things, and just go to the interventions in order to just in brief indicate what progress we have made as we have made some undertaking to the to this committee last time. On our slide 8, Honorable Chair, page 8. Sometimes I can't tell the difference between a slide and a page. on that 8, around the Nkomas SEZ, because let me say at high level is that we are mindful that for ourselves to be able to deal with the scourge of unemployment as a province, we needed to get the fundamentals right in terms of our economy. Set up. Hence, we have come up, among other things, about the whole issue of the Nkomas SEZ. It has taken time, but at least now, I'm sure honorable members, they've been following the matter, that already on the 18th of May this year, it has been gazetted by DTI for public comment in order just to finalize the designation of that SEZ.
Where is the SEZ?
It's under Nkomazi Municipality in Komati Port, just bordering Mozambique and Mpumalanga. The reason why we chose that location was that we want to ensure that those people or companies who are going to be located in that SEZ, they have a nearby port of entry and also to export their goods, because it's going to be much easier. But it's also linked to what probably some honorable members might remember, that at one time there was also this matter of a Maputo corridor, part of the relationship or signed between Mozambique and South Africa, which was linked to the development of N4. So this SEZ is just at the edge towards the end of the N4. But they were looking that I don't know whether we are not going to be unpatriotic because what will happen in the main is that even companies who want to export through using the port, you will see that even those in Gauteng, your Richards Bay becomes far. Then the port of Maputo becomes near if you do well in terms of the upgrade of the N4 and so on. Then it facilitates the fast movement of goods around that particular N4. So this was just to add to that Maputo corridor so that we give also a meaning around it. On slide 9, Chair, so we're hoping, Chair, that probably before the end of this month, DTI should have finalized the whole matter of the designation, depending what become the public suggesting or things which have come up during this period of the public, which is open up for public to comment around this designation. But we are continuing ourselves as a province to do all the other necessary things so that immediately it's designated, then we take the process forward. On slide 9, Chair, we said we want to also establish technology parks in order to make sure that we leverage from what we think we are good at as a province. Originally, we wanted to have 4 of them. Unfortunately, after the feasibility studies, we only managed to come with a positive feedback only on 3, that we can have a forestry technology park, but we are going to start with the one around Thaba Chewu, site being identified, working with SAFCOL. We are busy this year with the regulatory processes so that we can have the township establishment around that. The reason why we wanted to move towards the forestry one is that, as you may know, that most of the forests in the country are in Mpumalanga, as 40% of forests of South Africa are in Mpumalanga. So we want to exploit that particular dominance around the area of forestry and so on. But as we are engaging, there seems to be also other opportunity that we can have more than one technology park around forestry, also on the other side of Gersibande, because currently it's around Eklandzeni, the one of Thaba Chewu. But the second one is around agriculture, technology park. That one also came positive. That's where we are building our international fresh produce market currently, around that particular technology park. The third one is petrochemical. As you may know, that most of petrochemical-related products, we are producing them around the Secunda, of course, the main anchor being Sasol. So that one also came positive, and we have already finalized the site, everything. We are dealing with the regulatory issues for the township establishment, and we are working together with Sasol also around the establishment of that. The unfortunate one, which didn't come positive, of course, I'm sure if you follow the history of mining, you'll understand, was the mining and the metal technology park. It didn't come positive, probably because we wanted it to be around Kangala, close to the Highveld, in the Highveld, and it's close to Gauteng. And unfortunately, most of the companies, mining companies in the province, who are in the province, they are also already established themselves in Gauteng, in particular around Eguruleni. So it didn't make sense for them to move to Mpumalanga in terms of their infrastructure and so on. But we said probably as an alternative, we are going to pursue that, but making sure that probably we use the Highveld Everest, Highveld Steel, former Highveld Steel, which was shut down, probably to check whether we can engage so that we create an industrial park there around the Everest Highveld Steel. Those discussions are ongoing, and they seem to be promising in terms of that particular direction. On slide 10, Chair, we are just highlighting that they were continuing with our incubation programs in terms of exploiting some of these mineral resources and also what we have in the province, in particular around the issue of the fintech, where we beneficiate the forestry in terms of the woods which we have in the province. On slide 11, Chair, is the international fresh produce market. So we reported about that. We think that is going to give us a leverage in terms of growing our agricultural sector. Currently, Chair, we are just at around 98% to 99% the finalization of your groundwork. We are about to start the construction of the top structure. Probably the difficult about starting that is that we thought that we can't burden the fiscal in terms of putting the top structure. We are engaging potential funders, ITC and others, so that they can come on board, so that they can come invest in terms of the top structure. That work is continuing very well. They are promising that they might come on board. We are busy with that. But the other reason is that we want to exploit our Mozambique relationship with some of the provinces in Mozambique, but also we want also to engage with Limpopo province in terms of how do we take out our fresh produce to export it to the world using this international fresh produce market, and also to stimulate we revolutionize the agricultural sector in the province, because the weather there and everything seems to be on our side. But I must say, Chair, that we have also finalized the issue of we are in terms of building the agri-parks or agri-hubs, which are going to support the international fresh produce. We are currently building the Mkondo Agri Hub and also the Mkutlu Agri Hub. The aim is that our small scale farmers, at least when they produce, they can be able to take their produce to these agri hubs, which later, once the international fresh produce market has been finalized, they are able to be taken there. But for now, we're also creating for them a space so that once they are able to produce whatever they are producing, then they can be able to keep there, where we'll be having the necessary equipment to keep their produce in good quality. On slide 13, I'm just jumping the other slide, Honorable Members, because I just don't want to read everything. On slide 13, we are talking about that once we have a major project which we want to take around in terms of shaping the economy, but there are certain programs which we are engaging at as government, like the social enterprise model program and also the government nutrition model. The social enterprise model, Chair, being that cabinet has taken a decision to say when we build now all the infrastructure in the province, as part of a township economy stimulation, or to stimulate that economy, we should be able to assist SMMEs and cooperatives so that we buy from them most of our products, which we want to use during our build program across, could be road, the houses, and also our hospitals and school and everything. The government nutrition model, we've already started to implement that also. In the main is that the food which is eaten, which is being consumed in our hospitals, also at the various schools as a school nutrition and other various schemes which government have, we are going to be biased in terms of ensuring that we procure those products from our small-scale farmers so that they were able to ensure that they can also sustain themselves. But we're just indicating that in terms of the social enterprise development fund that we entered into a working arrangement with Standard Bank in terms of negotiating far more rates in terms of our SMMEs and cooperatives in particular those who are having already a contract or purchase orders with government so that they can have access for funds. We are doing this because we are cognizant of the fact that we don't have sufficient fund ourselves to assist our SMMEs and cooperatives and so on. So in that front, we are progressing. We've already started some of these SMME and cooperatives to be funded through that fund. Currently, the agreement is that the minimum amount which has been availed is $300 million for SMMEs in general and $500 million for those who are linked to agricultural activities because we are more agricultural province. But we have also indicated that agricultural activities will also include the forest so that we deal with agriculture in a broader sense, not in a narrow sense of only agricultural products and so on. We are, in terms of tapping to other national department programs, finalizing our MOU with the Department of Trade and Industry around the Black Industrialist Program. So we are about to finalize that particular work. But I must say that our working relationship with the TTI, it seemed to be good. We have just served almost 600 job losses in what you call the manganese company, which is in Nelspruit, which they were about to shut down end of June. We've engaged with DTI, which assisted us also to engage with Department of Energy in terms of the rates, electricity rates, because it will seem that one of the output which was costly for this company is around electricity. They are spending almost more than $1 million a day. A year, they are spending just for only electricity, almost $500 million just on electricity and so on. And that was killing the company, but through the intervention of the province and DTI, we have managed to engage so that they can be put on the preferred rates whilst they are trying to review their operation as a company moving forward. We are hopeful that the Minister for Energy will be finalizing that work very soon. But on slide 18, we are saying in order to tap on the SMMEs and cooperatives, working with the National Treasury, we have decided that probably we must also start to look at the various commodities which we are consuming and also buying as a province, and see what services we can sort of standardize. Hence, we have come with the whole issue of the provincial transversal contract, because the problem which we had was that same goods were not paying the same price in the same building. All of us being here in Parliament, just to make an example, but the body of water, others, they are procuring it with 10 rand, others with 25 rand, others with 30 rand, and so on. So surely we think that there's been a problem around the pricing issue. So hence we've come with the issue of the provincial transversal contract, where we are trying, among other things, to standardize this pricing. But we've started with the travel and accommodation services currently. We are continuing with other services or items which we think as government we are short-circuited in terms of price, or the price, we are overpriced in some of these products and so on. But we are going to target also the big spenders like your Department of Health and Education, who are sometimes the most consumer of these products and so on, and all the other departments in the province. On slide 19, Chair, just to continue with our interventions around the tourism sector. As you may know, that it has been the talk for some time now about the area of Pilgrim Rest. Those honorable members probably come from Mpumalanga, they will know that it has been a troubled area. But fortunately, Cabinet has now taken a decision that economic development and tourism must lead the revitalization of Freedom Rest, and a study has already been conducted and finalized for both the Freedom Rest and Waterfall Boven in order to revitalize the economic opportunity around tourism there, and very soon we'll be implementing that. The second issue, Chair, which I was even talking to the Minister of Environmental Affairs this morning, we have taken a process for some time of at least having one World Heritage Site in Mpumalanga, which will be around the Makonjwa Mountains in Barberton. And the final adjudication will be happening towards the end of June and early July this year. But we are engaging with the National Department of Environment and also CMR, because there seems to be some conflict around the two departments. As you may know, that CMR keep on issuing licenses for mining, disregarding whether it's a natural reserve or it's a place which needs to be conserved and so on. And then it will seem that there are some conflicting views around this matter. But as we speak, the whole process is with the UNESCO, the highest decision-making body in United Nations, one of their subcommittees, and they should be finalizing the matter. But we'll be engaging with both the Department of Environmental Affairs and DMR in order to deal with whatever might be a concern or a problem around that. But furthermore, Chair, finally, working with the National Treasury, we have finalized the regulatory and statutory obligation around the issue of construction of the skywalk around that God's window, and also the cable car around the three rendezvous and the building of a five-star hotel around your panorama route. I can see honorable member on my left is happy about this development because it's from his municipality. Otherwise, Chair, these are part of the issues which we made undertaking last year when we were here in terms of how do we want to intervene in terms of stimulating the economy of the province. And without saying a lot, Chair, probably let me hand over. I've tried to summarize, Chair, not to read entirely the slide. Otherwise, the issue of economy is my passion. I can talk the whole day and even consume most of your time. With your permission, Chair, if I can hand over to HOD to take us over from slide 20.
You're welcome to proceed to the presentation.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, Honorable MEC, and my colleagues. I'm just struggling to scroll. It's stuck somewhere.
Can someone assist HUD?
It's stuck. It's stuck somewhere. No, apologies.
You don't have to repeat all the figures. If there's any differences with the Treasury, you can mention that. Yeah.
Thank you, sir. We
page 21. Are we there?
Yes, sir.
Right. 21.
Page 21.
Provincial revenue enhancement.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. When we were here the last time, we, as a province, had made commitments around improving own revenue. The motivation that we indicate to our honorable members is really what is on page 21, that the fiscals out there and the reduction in the fiscals and the national transfers, as you all understand, issues around fiscal consolidation, those in the middle are the numbers that were reduced in the budgets of 2018-19 to 2021 in our province. And the impact could only be minimized using our limited resources prudently, as our Honourable Chair indicated in the opening remarks. And also, we believe in the concerted effort of increased revenue collection. That was in the speech. We always use this as provincial treasury, those important matters that they must find way into the in our provincial legislature through the tabling of the speech. So that paragraph on page 21, those three bullets were really what went into our legislature. On slide number 22, the honourable members, when we were here, we had not yet made this commitment of increasing our own revenue to 4.2 billion rand over a number of years. And we are giving a report back today that the province has collected 2.4 billion rand within 2 years, 2016-17 and 2017-18, from our own revenue. We also have additional revenue that we will report again in the adjustments, around amounting to 383 million rand. And honourable chair and honoured members, is from our investment. We took some money during difficult times and invested that money in our commercial bank in an investment account. The amount is 160 million with interest amounting to 29 million. It's going to accrue around February. It's going to mature in February 2019, and that money forms the part of our appropriation to fund service delivery. We also have within that 383 million an amount of 194 million, which is over collection that we also form part of the fiscals of the province. The 198 million that my colleague Ms. Karekwe indicated, we confirm and say that we are owed by our municipalities from an agency agreement of licensing function. We're going to indicate what do we do when our municipalities owe us those kinds of monies, the engagements that we have. We're also confirming that we're working very closely with the Department of Health. At the recent budget council, honourable members, there was a presentation that was made to guide provinces and to support our efforts by National Treasury from a study that was done from the GTEC branch of National Treasury. One of the issues chapters was on health revenues. What can we do to improve revenue in the health sector? The department that has a mandate of working with municipalities on motor vehicle licenses is the Committee Safety, Security and License. Issues around our licensing of our vehicles. So again, as we indicated earlier, we take advantage of when there's a pronouncement or speech at the legislature that our communities, our motorists, were encouraged to license their vehicles annually to avoid license fee accumulation. On slide number 23, honored members, it's a table that we're showing the over-collection in 2017-18 financially, acknowledging that we're making most of our revenue responsibly so from the gambling and betting taxes, the motor vehicle taxes, and patient fees in health. And we're indicating that 164 million rand has been over-collection, and that is before the Auditor General during this audit season. On slide 24, the honourable members of this committee ask us, come and talk to us about the challenges that you experience when you generate own revenue. This is what we're indicating on page 24. Just on the health sector, also without reading bullet by bullet, honourable members, it's on the manual hospital billing of our revenue. So what we have indicated earlier, the GTEC study, what we're taking from that study is that in the value chain, revenue management value chain, we're looking at admissions, billing, and the revenue, as well as debt management, to improve the system. The other area that has challenged us was our recoveries from the road accident fund, the RAF, and our medical aid. So whatever efforts we're putting together with the Department of Health, we're ready to deal with the manual hospital billing for revenue, the RAF, and medical aids, and opportunities in the last bullet there around how we can optimally utilize our ICT and software systems in the health sector. The second sector that we are really targeting in own revenue generation and enhancement is on the one where municipalities owe us. Briefly, we indicated earlier, but here we're coming to the honorable members to indicate that as we speak, there are 10 municipalities that owe the provincial government money to the 198 million that we indicated two slides earlier. And we have had some, two of them that have had that disputes have arisen, but the Municipal Finance Management Act allows for a situation where disputes must be handled and dealt with by provincial treasuries, and we have engaged those two municipalities to understand what are the issues and so that the monies can continue to flow to the provincial revenue fund. In 2016-17, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, the Executive Council has taken over this function from six municipalities and said, let us use this as a pilot and see whether we can generate some revenues if the officials within the department concerned and also those within the municipalities are transferred to the province, and that is beginning to yield results. What we are doing, maybe without going too much operational, is a simple exercise where we go and deposit drop-in safes and we bring in the merchants, the speed points, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, and that reconciliation is done on a day-to-day basis. Of course, creating some environment for young people to be appointed there to perform those reconciliations. On slide number 26, the last area that we brought three areas that are giving us challenges on revenue is the one on traffic fines. That if there's a traffic fine out there that has been issued by law enforcers, there's an opportunity for motorists to go and negotiate and reduce those fines. That's where we're losing a lot of revenue, and that's where there were complications around accounting for those tickets, those fines that are negotiated. And the department had challenges. Our Committee Safety, Security and Licensing had challenges with AG for the past 3 years. What the province has done is to appoint, Honourable Chair, a service provider that will assist us to make even the life a system that is more conducive or convenient to even the offenders, in that we can pay from into banks, and we can pay fines into retail stores like the Pick and Pays and ShopRite instead of waiting to go and pay in a municipality. And also the system also allows for the reconciliations that will see us reducing even the findings from Auditor General, because we had issues of incomplete revenue that was reported on the financial statements of the Department of Community Safety. We're also expected to talk about who owes the Provincial Revenue Fund, the provincial revenue. On slide number 28, Honourable Members, we are making an acknowledgement here that the debt book, as we close the books of accounts for the province, at 31 March 2018 was at 397.7 million, reducing slightly by 3% from 2016-17 from 408 million. In the main, it's our two big standards, education and health, systems of internal controls that have been found to be weak, where we must focus and strengthen them. The bulk that is in the Department of Health of staff debtors, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, we are concentrating on current employees and employees that may have exited the system, even in cases of suppliers that may have been paid erroneously. And as a provincial treasury, in as much as we are working with the department on the debt management, the debt book, however, we're saying, what are the gaps on the internal controls? What controls can we strengthen in order to reduce the occurrences? So we are identifying those gaps and trying to stabilize that, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. And what we believe in treasury and what we always engage our departments on is to continue to identify risks in the system and be able to mitigate them. We were also asked to talk to the fiscal position of our province. We are now on slide number 30, Honourable Members. We list our bank accounts as we have them there in the various departments, and perhaps to just talk about the first column there is on First National Bank. We only have one bank there with our provincial legislature. Our South African Reserve Bank, the same column with 6 million rand, and in Standard Bank, when we close the year, we indicate the investment that we have alluded to of 160 million that is maturing in February 2019. Then the next column on page 30, the very last column, is all the other bank accounts in Standard Bank. We've made a small bracket, blue bracket, there, were showing that in our revenue fund, we closed the year with 126.2 million, and also the intergovernmental. We just put that brace bracket there. The star that we show there is not a good star. It's a red star in one of our departments that went into overdraft, the culture, sport, and recreation, one of our departments. And when such happen, we do escalate those matters so that they receive attention, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. On page 31, we also show we're asked to show what was in the opening balance and closing balance. Those yellow round markings were just showing that in the 132 million, it's really the combination between the revenue fund and what we have, the 6.3 million that we closed with as the South African Reserve Bank. I will pass that slide, just inflows and outflows. Then the accruals on page 33. Accruals and payables. Honourable Chair, there were changes in 2016-17 on how we talk to accruals, how we should view accruals from our Accountant General at National Treasury. We just brought that short definition there, that accruals that were loosely used as accruals before, it's really those ones where we still do not have there's commitments, but we do not have invoices. But payables is when a department closes the year with invoices on hand. And that's where we go as parents, say, let's talk about your payables, the invoices on the table. Are they within 30 days or not? The numbers are in line with what Ms. Harrod-Wins indicated. Honourable Chair, we will not say much on slide 35, but on slide 36, that's where we take accruals one step further and say who has not paid within 30 days, within these accruals, and whether these accruals are indeed cash-backed. Those red stars in three departments is community safety, security, and licensing, where these accruals are not cash-backed. In health as well, as Ms. Carrico has indicated, and culture, what we did on that slide, we split them between accruals and payables, but the totals are exactly what she has indicated, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. Part of the accruals in community safety, we must indicate, are those amounts that are still with municipalities, in particular where they owe the RTMC. And that RTMC says it doesn't matter that you have an agent's agreement elsewhere, you still owe us, then you need to disclose. There was a vast improvement, as indicated earlier, on education. But we still have major issues on health, Honourable Chair. We'll indicate at a particular slide what we intend doing about the challenges that we have on the Department of Health. On page 38 onwards is a pre-audited budget and expenditure outcomes. I noted that my colleagues at National were correct. They were presenting on the inner monitoring already submitted to them, which is the preliminary outcomes. But what we brought beyond that is pre-audited, the numbers that are before Auditor General for audit. There's not much difference from what was tabled, but on slide number 39, our arrow there, that gold arrow at the bottom, Honourable Members, is showing the under-expenditure that is being audited now for 65 million. On the extreme right hand, we split that between what is what is from equitable share and how much of that is conditional grants that we're supposed to present to National to be allocated back to the province. We continue on slide 40, just with economic classification, but on slide number 41, the second column from the left, this slide talks to compensation of employees, Honourable Members. In our province, we are still continuing with the moratorium in order to come with some savings and towards service delivery. And the second column there has got a number of rests those are the amounts that we shifted away from compensation. These are the savings that have been generated from the compensation of employees. We may indicate to our honored members that the Department of Health, though, is not under moratorium because of the importance of that sector in service delivery. And again, education, the indication was that there was growth in the numbers. Education, the moratorium is only non-school-based employees. If it's officials that are assisting in circuits, there is no moratorium. If it's educators, there is no moratorium. Hence, the numbers are represented by my colleagues correctly so from National Treasury. So the other votes are really under very strict moratorium. There are strict rules if any of our departments would like to appoint critical positions through the Budget and Finance Committee, which is a subcommittee of Cabinet and Executive Council. Those are the savings that were redirected during adjustments towards service delivery, the 298 million. And as we close the year, we see there's a 145, the second arrow, gold arrow at the bottom, 145 million. What this says to us as provincial treasurer is that we must still be more strict with the allocations to compensation of employees, because if they shift money at adjustments, there's very little time to spend wisely on those amounts. Hence, my colleague, Ms. Kareko, says, you've added so much money during adjustments, but you still remain with that. So at the tabling of the main appropriation, that's where the work on compensation should find expression. On the extreme right, we also indicate of the compensation, how much must revert to the revenue fund, as there are no rollovers there, and what must revert to the national treasurer. On goods and services and capital, I will not repeat what Ms. Kareko said. We have agreed with what she has indicated. But on slide 46, honorable members, honorable chair, we take each department. This one is education sector, and we're saying what are the risks that we see that must receive attention, that continue to receive attention. Understanding the first round bullet there is that circle. It says underspending on infrastructure, both on equitable share and conditional grants. National Treasury colleague also said you are not doing well in this sector. You are understanding it is indeed an area that is receiving attention in terms of risk assessment and mitigation thereof. The underspending on new grants, she also indicated the learners with profound intellectual disability. She raised issues on the DORA posts that are in the infrastructure unit, the high staff turnover on MEC, and the input has indicated how we struggle to keep those colleagues there whilst the Division of Revenue is giving us money to fund those posts. When we are done with building those structures, the department, the sector, the province has still challenges around operationalization of the new facilities. The accruals that are not cash backed were an issue in our last meeting appearing before the honorable members of this committee. It is no longer a risk in education in Mpumalanga. The department has dealt with the matter. The controls that are being strengthened in order to sustain. We are saying we need to sustain this good work, that the accruals that are there are invoices that are within 30 days, are invoices that have cash to take them to the next year of 2018-19 financial year. I may not repeat what is on slide 47. My colleague indicated the underspending that we have there, but perhaps on 48, it was just an indication to honorable members, the two grants that had a problem. Indeed, it was the education infrastructure grant, that blue arrow, and at the bottom is our new grant, the learners with profound intellectual disabilities. The explanations were also covered by my colleagues, but maybe to just indicate that the rollovers have been requested, and the underspending that we're confirming from the National Treasury was around LTSM, a major issue where in 2018-19 our Department of Education says, but I'm not funded adequately in learner teacher support material, but there's underspending. So it's a matter that the two honored MECs assist with to help us. They've had engagement as revenue executive authority in the department. They've already had engagements and to welcome the principal that side, but to say, here are the risks within your department. In health, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, slide 52 are the risks that exist in the health budget. Our day-to-day matters that we are faced with the medical legal claims, my colleague covered that, inadequate provision for maintenance at our facilities, a major issue, Honorable Chair, and difficult to come here and say a major issue if in the earlier slides we're saying that we're underspending on the ground. So that's the part that is still a mismatch in the report that we're tabling. Again, here the delays in operationalization of new facilities, that when we improve on the infrastructure delivery as per the recommendations to this honorable committee from National Treasury, indeed those are the issues of infrastructure, the maintenance and the spending there and operationalization of new facilities. The accruals that are not cash-backed, that result in a new year in the overspending of the main accounts. My colleagues from National said that we have been reporting 460 million all along. It's correct up until January. It's an area, Honourable Members, that we must work with our Department of Health and assist and go to facilities and find the accruals early enough in a year. These accruals have doubled at year end when we had one-on-one engagements at a official to official level. We had those engagements and the accruals were known to the parent department as far as in six, but at year end. And there was quite a number of engagements that took place where the Department of Health could not indicate what is the total amount of accruals. They said we estimate them at $1 billion. So what we have realized on our members is we must go with our Department of Health to the facilities and work with the CEOs and establish the same controls that are at head office, that are in various departments at a facility level. The delegations that are there that must go with the necessary accountability. Delegations of spending on supply chain, the delegations of spending on cash flow. It's really our matter is at a facility level in the Department of Health in Mpumalanga. The delays in procurement of medical equipment is part of the risks and the inability to pay within 30 days. When we start the year with accruals of almost R1 billion in 2018-19 and still have to service the annual performance plan, indeed there will be a problem around cash flow management and payment within 30 days because we start a year with a deficit. This is the message that we have also put across to our Department of Health. The unavailability of budget for maintenance of life-saving equipment, coal and building maintenance, those are the issues that we are faced with that we are working with the department to correct, Honourable Members. Slide 53 is covered by National Treasury. Slide 54, one arrow on the health facility revived grant and infrastructure grant, confirming what was said by National Treasury that this province is not doing well in infrastructure. We give them money and they do not spend. On slide 55, there are two slides where we're saying, what is it that we're, besides coming to the committee and lament, what is it that is being done as we speak about those risks in Mpumalanga, in particular in health, to address issues that we would like to acknowledge once again, a health action plan that is before Budget Council, that Budget Council says, here, provinces, here's a health action plan that can assist you. Take these aspects and go and deal with them back home. These are the items that we have taken seriously from that health action plan. And given that these accruals are still increasing in our province, here are some of the efficiencies, Honourable Members, that are being dealt with back home. The National Trust says in the National Health Laboratory Service, what are the issues there, and blood services. When these tests are done and we are billed by the NHLS. The tests are done even in areas that are not necessary, and that's where we lose a lot of money. We have seen an opportunity for efficiencies in a minimum number of tests that are done to a patient, but with senior people monitoring and advising the young professionals on the limited number of tests, and those tests are going to yield the same results than to run 8 tests when we'd have needed 5 tests from one patient. The integration between our planned patient transport and the EMS, the emergency medical service, where we always have shortfalls and we always have accruals in the EMS program 3 there. The standardization, honorable members, of the menu for patient food. Previously, about two years ago, there was standardization of prices, and it was concluded. Currently, the commitment that was made at the legislature is that the provincial treasurer must go out and revisit the market prices against the price list that is currently approved and being implemented in our facilities. An analysis of the spending on the ARV drugs. We always overspend on medicine. National Treasury says medicine, medical supplies, bandages, and blood items. So this time around, we're looking at the ARVs, how we're spending this, and the distribution to facilities in terms of stock levels and the improvements that are needed is also part and parcel of our health action plan. The establishment of maintenance teams. Back home, honorable members, we have an entity called the Mpumalanga Regional Training Trust that trains artisans. We want to go back to the artisan program that was there many, many years ago, but now under the Department of Public Works, in this entity, we want to work with those with the entity to assist our Department of Health to build these maintenance teams that they can work in facilities and not wait for public works to come and change even a group. The reconciliation of municipal accounts, especially in clinics and our hospitals, as we are still owing municipalities and Department of Health, but there are forums that are established by Treasury where these amounts are really being dealt with and for proper disclosures even during this audit. We are working with the implementing agent to improve issues of planning and spending on infrastructure-related work, in particular on the health facility revitalization grant. Earlier, the colleague from National talked about the medical legal claims that they think that we're doing well, but we're still worried about this area of work. The honorable members will see a number of slides under annexures. Please take request that we take our honorable members there. We are utilizing services of legal experts that are centrally appointed in Office of Premier, and they go and argue, I don't know whether it's the right word, not a lawyer on it, please forgive me, they go and argue and negotiate that we don't pay the exorbitant prices. That's why we have paid the 67 million so far against billions that the lawyers literally tried their luck, some of them, and when these experts engage them, some of these cases, they just disappear. We are strengthening, though, the system of internal controls within the department in order to avoid this litigation and be able to detect any emerging risks, because there are those negligent cases. That is a fact, and therefore, on the slides, on the annexures, will indicate what we are doing. We're asked to talk to infrastructure. It is on slide 58, if I skip the numbers, maybe to indicate, honorable chair, that on social infrastructure, our spending was around 90%. The libraries that we have challenges, we did not have on grants, but on our own funded through equitable share. And on equitable or on economic infrastructure, we acknowledge the issues around agriculture, that there is a classification matter that is being dealt with, even between Treasury, the department, and our Auditor General. At TCF, the Technical Committee on Finance, the matter is being looked at by the National Treasury Accountant General. We have, for the first time, received incentives through the performance-based infrastructure grant in education, but there is ongoing work to sustain this, honorable chair. The risk now that we receive an incentive closed year with underspending, we must be able to sustain. So we are working on that, and also assisting our health department to qualify for these incentives. On slide number 59, we're already asking the honorable members of this committee to note our report and continue to provide us with guidance on the issues and advice on the issues that are raised. And then we said thank you, but we put an exercise on medical legal. What are the controls that we don't want to be complacent about anything? Thank you, sir.
Demisi, any input further from you?
No, that, thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. That will conclude our discussion, taking in consideration the issues which were raised. Thank you.
Thank you, MEC, Kowani and HUD, for your presentation, as well as National Treasury. Honorable Members, we also recognize the presence of Dr. Mateme, that is an alternate for Limpopo. Welcome. Welcome back. And thank you for going to add value to our committee and its work. Honorable Members, out of the presentation from the National Treasury, but also looking at Mpumalanga's presentation, critical skills shortage, planning, project execution skills. These are the people that's working with the money. That came out in both presentations. The irregular expenditure that increased to 10.8 billion rand. That's a massive amount of money. Questions, Honourable Members? Honourable Mutlashuping, Honourable Ter Blanche. Anyone else? None? Honourable Shabangu. In that order?
No, thanks, Chair. Good morning, colleagues and everybody. Maybe I must start by welcoming the presentation, both presentations from National Treasury and Mpumalanga. But, Chair, from the onset, we never dealt with the issue of apologies. I request that I be released around 12 o'clock to attend the Remuneration Commission. Yes, I've been invited to that meeting. Yeah, Chairperson, I will only speak to what has been raised by National Treasury because it's an overarching presentation. Though Mpumalanga tries in a way to mitigate as to why they did not do A, E, and Z. But I must, from the onset, say, Chair, I'm getting a little bit worried that half the time we sit with provinces, not Mpumalanga here now, we sit with provinces, we raised concerns, And nothing is done about it. Because what we are raising here is value for money. And what honorable members in this committee would want a change insofar as things that are presented both as an advice but as a way forward, that provinces begin to adhere to simple issues of the Public Finance Management Act. Everybody has that document. But year in and year out, provinces come here, they are unauthorized expenditure, they are irregular expenditure. We are talking about these matters, they are accruals. They can't spend they budget. I'm telling you, even next year when we can call Mpumalanga, we will have the same situation. Now we are working on it, we are dealing with it, but it's not being dealt with. And to me, Chairperson, it's a worry that do we really have the correct people in the right space to do the work as required by simple legislation. You know, if people are said to pay suppliers in 30 days, and they sit in offices every day, and they are paid to do the work, and they can't do it for 4 years, now that I've been in this committee, every now and then there's an excuse as to why they are not paying suppliers in 30 days. And those reasons are very simple, if I've got to explain it. You're sitting in offices and doing nothing. Just to read the act and follow the prescript of the act. Simple. Plus, now come into the document. This one of National Treasury doesn't have pages. I treasure. You must improve in your presentation to number. It's simple numbering so that it makes it easy for us. Please, because you are coming consistently to this committee, please improve on numbering your pages. Simple thing. Tomorrow, work on it. No, they must improve. Really, we can't go on like this. There's under expenditure, Mpumalanga, on the provincial adjustment for 17 and 18. That is how it is titled. Of 484,936. Over and above, I want an explanation, National Treasurer. That over and above, this understanding, I don't get the relationship between the understanding and the 100 million that was given to Mpumalanga. That a province understand, and on top of that, you still give them 100 million. Is that not burdening them? Because really they are underspending. Chairperson, if we are on the provincial budget and preliminary outcome as at the 31st of March 2018, Mpumalanga, if you can't spend on capital projects, you have engineers, you have technicians, you have directors of supply chain management, chief directors, HODs, and you can't spend on capital projects. The National Development Plan is anchored around infrastructure development, and you underspend, you don't spend. It's a worrying factor, and you must explain to us what is it that makes you not to spend the money as planned. You present yearly to us your APPs, and is that just a document that is done and presented for malicious purposes? On the second slide, education preliminary outcome as at 31st. I'm getting very worried. All provinces, colleagues, all provinces, with no exception, they're not doing well in education and health. And this is unacceptable. That's a budget. We were from Free State. We are aware of the ideal clinic status. There are only five. It's a disgrace that you have only five clinics that can be required, that can be considered as ideal. This is an underperformance, and it's an insult to our people when you have a budget and you don't do what is expected. Year in, year out, you hide behind employment of educators because you want the education system to improve, you want that the LPSM and blah, 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 blah. Now, you knew, that is why principals, teachers are expected to remain at school when children close the school, for them to plan for the incoming year. So the department knows the enrollment, the registration, everything. Now, this over expenditure and all that in education and the crisis that you are facing in education is really unacceptable. I don't want to talk about health, because a healthy society is the one that can build a healthy countrymen, men and women. Now, you are doing nothing. You are telling us nothing insofar as your underperformance in the health sector. And really, really, it's unacceptable. Your medical expenditure is a worrying also factor, that securing goods and services insofar as medicines are concerned, and you are not doing enough as a province. Really, it's unacceptable. And Chairperson, I am now getting to a stage where I would say I'm getting fed up. You know, it's a wrong word. It's unparliamentary, but you know, we can't go on like this. And there's a budget allocated, and there's money that is not being used, and there are men and women that we pay every month to do nothing. Now these people must begin to do what is really, and Chair, there's understanding on compensation of employees. On the health preliminary outcome as at the 31st of March, 2018, of 32.6 million. Now, with the performance of the department, as is and as a concern, you are saying there is an outstanding overtime payment. Overtime for what? You know, if people are not doing their work, and then you still have a report that says they've got to be paid overtime, it's outstanding. It's amazing, you know.
Well,
it's ridiculous.
Thank you very much. You want to leave at 12 o'clock.
Let me leave the others.
How are you going to contemplate your feedback?
Let me leave the others to other honorable members. Thank you.
I can see you getting very passionate. Honorable Sablanc.
Chairperson, thank you. I think my colleague, you know, made really the rest of our work very easy. But, you know, just to align with him, and I can understand, and, you know, really we are sitting here with all the different provinces, and the storyline remains the same. To whatever province you're looking, the storyline is the same. So I can rather, you know, sort of sit in my office and comment from there, because I know exactly what is the position going to be. So I'm not going to touch on the things that my colleague dealt with. Apart to say that really, and you know that at the previous meeting that we had with some of the other provinces, I suggested, and we did discuss that, you know, that we need to maybe get public works in here I think we need to start a process where National Public Works should facilitate a program with all the provincial public works. Because really, apparently nobody is responsible for this stuff, and I'm not going to dwell on that. So, Chairperson, I am concerned about the very same things, and it's very nicely explained on Mpumalanga slide 46, all the issues that is a problem. And my request would be, Chairperson, that, you know, we need to get updated on a regular basis to what extent are they making inroads in, you know, maybe dealing with this or improving this situation. So I'm not going to dwell with that further. Chairperson, then, I was quite interested in the MEC's, you know, on his the stuff that he told us about, especially the international fresh produce market. I think that is quite interesting. And the good thing, my question regarding that is, Chairperson, international means we are going to export stuff to the international world. And I don't know your area very well, sir, so please forgive me. I'm just wondering, do we have a proper airport that is properly equipped to deal with a project like that? I want something on that. Chairperson, and then I'm so glad that these people are here today. They have got a beautiful province. I mean, the stuff that they have, you know, Kruger is there, everything is there. So they have a lot of potential there. But now I'm coming to something that really worries me. I'm not going there anymore. The reason is you can't travel there by road. I mean, long-term pass, it's a long walk past that. You can't drive there with a vehicle anymore. To the extent that buses are taking alternative routes and maybe, Jefferson, just a suggestion, that is something that the province must look into to bring the tourists back again to Mpumalanga. Chairperson, apart from that, as far as Treasury is concerned, I haven't, as I said, the accruals is also for me a very worrying factor. We cannot allow to deal with accruals like this. Chairperson, I'm covered. Thank you.
Honorable Shimangu.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me also take this opportunity to welcome the presentation. I'm not also going to repeat what the latter speakers have said or mentioned, but mine is just to ask questions, and I think they will come as answers in the near future, because I don't think they will be answered here. With regard to High Steel Felt, or whatever, is it still working? Because the last time when we were there, it was a white elephant, and about 15,000, if not 18,000 people of South Africa has lost their jobs. And how do you intend bringing it back? The Komati Port Zac, it's a very important project, but is it not going to attract Africans from Africa to come and occupy space for our people, citizens, like in the Free State where they are getting medicine and education free of charge from Lesotho and go back and get pension funds, whatever. The 40 young incubators, how do you intend to attract the incubators? Is it going to be inclusive? Is it going to attract the poor of the poorest? Because it is where it must start. And your program for lobbying young people to agree, because the youngsters of today do not take agriculture as their future. how do we intend lobbying them to be attracted into that department, because it's a department that can save jobs. The Muloto Corridor, I've never heard you saying anything about this project. And when we were there, we were promised that, it's alive and kicking. But when we approached that corridor, we nearly died because of the bad roads, and maybe it was done with an intention that we should not arrive there. But we're told that it's kicking. You tell us about the monies owed to you by the municipalities, but you don't say anything about what is due by you. Municipalities are collapsing because of national treasury and provinces owing them a lot of money with regard to education, electricity, and all that jazz. Last but not least, how does your traffic law enforcement help to rehabilitate the road users? Do you just put the cameras there and want them to get trapped, or do you have a way of rehabilitating them today and teach them how to react in order to save the lives? This one is with regard to the National Treasury. It's the last one, Mr. Chairman. You say the supply management chain is a challenge in province. National Treasury, what is the cause for this? It is done with a deliberate intention, because after 25 years, we can't complain about people that are not meeting the requirements with regard to qualifications that are working in province and nationally and in municipalities. How do we intend improving this? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, honorable members, for the questions. You want to ask a question? You were not here when we started, okay? Honorable Isaac.
Chairperson, thank you for the opportunity. I apologize, but I've been asked to attend this independent commission inquiry in E249, but I thought this is more important. So if you'll allow me quick sticks. Chairperson, yes, so much has been said by my other colleagues, and I don't want to go and duplicate, and it's not fair. But, you know, Mpumalanga being home, I know so much about my province, and obviously, you know, I mean, it's home and I grew up there. But, Chairperson, just to quickly touch on a few points, let's just start quickly with Treasury's presentation. If you look through the numbers and the health department, I want to just say categorically. First of all, before I continue, Chairperson, I want to put it on record. Again, I'm disappointed that the Minister of Finance is not here. Then the Deputy Minister of Finance. You know, I mean, we discussed this last week, and I don't want to now, you know, make unnecessary complications, but really, I just want to say that...
We must meet Friday. You'll get everyone here.
Well, Chairperson, In my case, you know, I can't get a flight on Thursday in any case, so I'm happy to be here on Friday mornings. But we have to get the ministers here, as we discussed last week, to really be part of these presentations. I just wanted to put it on record, because there was no apology announced by the Secretariat on the ministers. In any case, be that as it may be, the health department in Mpumalanga province, MEC, you would realize with due respect, but it is in a total state of collapse. And I'm saying this, and I'm putting my head on the block, on record. The health department in Mpumalanga is in a total state of collapse. And if you look at the numbers here, and if you look at the presentation, it's frightening, it's shocking. But I can tell you, on record here, as I sit here, it is even, in fact, even worse than what you see here. That is the position. If you go to hospitals like Rob Ferreira in Mombela or in Leidenburg, Mashishing, or in Carolina, I mean, I just wanted to put that on record so that the MEC, in his discussions with the Premier, as far as the health department is concerned, as you alluded to, something serious and drastic has to be done ASAP. Two, public works in Mpumalanga. Beautiful province, huge traffic flow, both from international tourists, locals, gateway to the Kruger Park, as my colleague alluded to. The roads are in a total, total shambles. If you look at the towns, small towns, the feeder areas, the N4 feeding towards Belfast, towards Komatipoort, Malalan, I mean, those are toll roads. But what about all the rest of the roads that are in total state of collapse? I mean, if you take the Bambi Road, if you take the road going to Burgersfort, which is not part of Limpopo, I'm talking of Mpumalanga side. Anyway, public works, total disarray. The buildings of public works, total disarray in the throughout the towns. The rentals you are paying through public works is frightening. So I'm just trying to be brief. Education. It was alluded to. I'm not going to duplicate that. Then quickly, Chairperson, there's just one or two numbers I didn't understand, and I must ask. On National Treasury's presentation, I numbered the pages where it is alluded to the province has a high number of people 20 years and older, and then the last bullet, accumulated accruals increased to some 327.5 million. And accumulated unauthorized expenditure increased to 705.2 million in education. It's getting frightening. It's going out of hand. It's almost doubled. And then last on economic development and tourism, transfers to public entities make up some 78.7% of the total departmental budget, with MEGA getting 49% of these transfers. Let me see, I want to ask you, what is MEGA doing in Mpumalanga? What has MEGA got to show in Mpumalanga for the last 3, 4, 5 years? I've raised this question previously, and up until now, when I see the volumes of money being given to MEGA, and I see the wages and salaries being paid at MEGA, and when I see what is MEGA physically doing in Mpumalanga province, quite frankly, and I say this with absolute due respect, MEGA is just a total mess for this province. And it's eating millions and millions of rands of our money. I'm not sure where is it going to. I wanted to raise that. And then finally, Chairperson, and I'll keep quiet, on the fiscal position as presented by the HO from Mpumalanga, on slide 30, Department of Culture, Sport and Recreation, minus 705,462.54. Now, why is this? What has brought about this situation? Because I haven't seen any fancy stadiums come up. I haven't seen anything concrete happen. But, I mean, this number seems frightening, so I just wanted to get an answer on that. And, Chairperson, I got so many other questions on Mpumalanga, but with due respect and for the sake of time constraints, I'll just hold on there. Thanks. I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
Honorable Dr. Mateme.
Chairperson, thank you very, very much. Chair, on page 46, that is, where they say there's high staff turnover, Chairperson. This is a symptom of a very serious problem. How can we perform when staff doesn't stay, meaning there is no stability? And these are the people who must make government work. But the high turnover is telling a story. Chair, lastly, next year this time, the 6th Parliament will be in office next year this time. question is, you see, every administration stands or falls depending on the type of civil service they have. So, Chairperson, what type of a legacy have this administration helped us achieve? What legacy are we going to be leaving behind as this fifth parliament, Chairperson? I would wish, I'm not sure, before we rise to go campaign to usher in the sixth parliament, I'm not sure we will meet again like this, so that we are reassured. Look, fifth parliament, we started in Mpumalanga province from this point A. We took Mpumalanga to this point B. That would be desirable, because it's important for us to know what legacy are we leaving, assisted by them. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, honourable members. Honourable members, I want to adjourn this meeting at 20 to 1, because there's other meetings running between 1 and 2, and there's a 2 o'clock plenary. Thank you for your questions. We will try our best before we adjourn December, and I said it in previous meetings as well, call some of these provinces back, but to have a separate meeting inviting the Minister of Health, the Minister of Education, and the Minister of Finance. In appropriations, a meeting is being set up for the third term with public works, etc. I'm not going to labor into that, that's appropriations. Provinces will have to look at the triple P, public-private partnership. Government can't do everything, it's impossible. You see what happened in the first quarter in terms of economic growth. We were not expecting that. We were not expecting it, and it put pressure on us for the MTBBS in October. The effect of fiscal consolidation on big departments like health and education. There's a serious effect. What wasn't mentioned by Mpumalanga is the element of migration of people from Mozambique and Swaziland, like we have in the Free State migration from Lesotho. What is that effect on the province? Because it's a reality. And it affects your fiscus at the end of the day. The CEO initiative is being run at the national sphere. How has this been filtered down to the provincial sphere? In terms of your engagement with the business community, CEOs of companies in your province. Then, the AG's outcome on MEGA. What did the Auditor General say? Because there will be a report. Now, we haven't got that report in front of us, but our research team can assist to go and look into that and maybe do a paper for us to circulate to members, that we get that background as well. 2 billion rand, if you look at the Division of Revenue presentation on the members, the 20th of March, the Division of Revenue tells us 2 billion rand annually is being spent on the capacity building in the administration. We will have to get, and I don't know if it's possible before March 2019, a diagnostic analysis of each province.
referring to the training skills, the skills that people have that are working there. Do they comply with that criteria to be appointed as a chief financial officer in a department? As senior management. Why? Because their decisions are taken and then it filters down to the lowest level for implementation. And that's crucial. That is very crucial. It's not only for this province. It cuts across all 9 provinces. And provinces must also learn from each other. Specific in collection of patient fees. Yes, health. The other one is motor license fees. There's some improvement in Northern Cape, but they're not still where they want to be. But there's some progress. What can we learn? What can we learn from each other? MEC, thank you. Over to you and your team. I'm going to give you 24 minutes to do the reply. Make it 25.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and members, and your frank engagement. I so wish that probably when we come here, we can come with the culprits, the affected department, because everything is thrown at us. If you come and look at what we are doing, we have no problems with provincial treasuries, but our colleagues make us to receive all the blows. Probably, Chair, maybe to consider that, that next time when we are called with the with the other MEC so that they can be here and hear for themselves what the honorable members are raising. There is a disjuncture there in terms of the issues. But let me start by saying, firstly, I appreciate the issues raised and the frustrations raised by the members. I'm sure we all share the same frustration because when you raise one issue from time and time again and there is no movement, really it can only bring a frustration and so on. But we are noting all the issues and we'll be taking most of the issues back in terms of how best can they filter down to the relevant department and be able to improve. In particular around the issue of Department of Health and also Public Works, Road and Transport. I think that there are some welcomed suggestions in terms of what we must do around in terms of dealing with the issues. But I must say that probably, Chair, with the hindsight, maybe what we are faced with as provinces sometimes is overwhelming. If you look like
in over what?
Overwhelming, the challenges. If you are faced with a situation where almost all your hospital infrastructure is about to collapse and you must engage in a massive build of hospitals, surely if you take the posture of the hospitals, your clinics will be suffering. Now,
those equipment, is it imported or do you manufacture in South Africa?
In terms of what we have taken as a cabinet decision is that what can be sourced locally, we're going to get it locally so that we improve our own local standing and so on. But I'm just raising the matter in terms of the IDs clinic because you can't do everything sometimes. If you try to focus somewhere else, the other thing suffers and so on. And there's a reality around the limitation of budgets. What is it which you can do and so on. So I think that with the hindsight, Chair, one must say that probably we just need to strike a balance. How do we move forward? But again, you don't want to wait for a hospital to collapse on patients and then you have a national crisis before you attend to a hospital and so on, because as you may see that when you look into the Department of Health, I think we have taken too much huge hospital build program in trying to ensure, because some of the hospital is no longer, they are beyond maintenance. Even if you maintain, it become more expensive to maintain than to build a new hospital. But if you build a new hospital, it costs more, which you must put aside so that they are able to build a new hospital and so on. Probably those are the issues which we have engaged. And Chair, taking your comment of the triple P, we have also tried to come with innovative ways in terms of how to engage around that. We are engaging with National Treasury. They are having their own ideas around some of the issues, but they were hoping that very soon we might come to a common understanding in terms of how also to introduce the issue of triple P on the social infrastructure, not only to leave it on the other part and so on, take into consideration all the issues which we think they are advising us correctly and so on. I must say, Chair, that indeed the issue of underextending is a problem which we need to attend into. We can't say anything that because if we have money, we just have to spend, and we continue to work around that particular matter so that we improve in this aspect. The issue of medical legal issues, I think that what has helped us now to cushion us not to pay a large sum of money is precisely because we have discovered through the system we are using as a province that there are also a lot of fraud involved. Not all of them are, I can say, are legitimate. Probably that's why it's starting to reduce the pressure, in particular in Mpumalanga, because we have discovered that there are some lawyers who just sit and write letters and just putting names of patients, which even some are not existing. And in the past, department just used to pay and honor those particular things and so on. But now we're able to have this system which we have put in to engage them and so on. And sometimes you'll find that they send some of these claims to Mpumalanga, whereas they belong to another province. Even the hospital they are quoting is not belonging to Mpumalanga. It's belonging to another province. Whether it's true in that province, you might not be sure. But all those things, they are starting to be careful now in terms of what exactly become this challenge. But having said that, it's a matter which will continue to trouble us until we are able to deal with it entirely. But we are grateful that we are making some inroads and also working with the National Department of Health and also National Treasury around this particular matter and so on. On the other issues, one can only say in summing them up that we take what members are saying because most of the things, unfortunately, we have to go back and engage with the sister departments who are also contributing to this problem. International airport, yes, we do have it. It can handle the capacity. We also have...
Excellent airport. Excellent.
Yes, a most beautiful one. But we still have to do a lot to get it more working, active, and so on. But we think that we can be able to take the work of the international fresh produce. As a matter of fact, we are negotiating with some airlines direct flight from Frankfurt direct to Mpumalanga. It's just that we are not talking about some of the things because we are still in the early stage, but very soon we'll be having direct airlines from here through your Frankfurt and so on into the province and so on, in particular for tourists. Probably the negative side is what you are raising about our roads. That once the tourists are there, our roads should be up to scratch so that they can freely enjoy our tourism sites in the province and so on. We are working and looking into that. The issue of IFL Steel, yes, it's up and coming now. It's running. Almost close to 800 employees now has been taken back. This morning, I had a meeting before this one with one company is going to start the furnace again, which again is going to take up some of those employees which lost their work during the shutdown. But we are looking a lot of things around that because it can go back to its former glory of steel because of the steel prices commodity which happened at a particular time. But we are working with the caretakers there in order to ensure that we bring it back and also go back to those jobs which we have lost. And Commerce SEZ probably is the same saying that when you open a window for oxygen or for fresh air, mosquito will come in. Good intention, but probably as we are saying, it might attract others, but it's one of those things that whatever you do has got the good and the bad side. Probably it's just we have to be alerted to the negative side so that you are able to deal with. But also, if this project is finalized and everything is implemented, it's going to create more than 100,000 job opportunities, direct and indirect jobs for the province and so on. And one thing for sure, Yonkomazi municipality will change to be what it is today if everything goes to well around this project. But taking into consideration, Honorable Member Shabang, what they are raising in terms of the negative part of it. The incubation, yes, we are targeting the poor of the poorest in the province. Agriculture, we have the Fortune 40 program. It's a youth program only for young people, which we are encouraging them to go back to agriculture activities so that they can start to produce. And let's take agriculture probably fashionable, like any other sectors of our economy and so on. And the response is quite very good currently from our young people. They are starting to go back. But it has also been stimulated by the fact that as government, we are the market for whatever is produced by these young people in form of the small-scale farmers. The Moloto Corridor, I think it's a very difficult one because it's a national stroke provincial program. As you may know that there are a lot of things which are involved there. Gauteng seems to be in the main control, but if you look in terms of the corridor, it starts from Gauteng, Mpumalanga, Northwest, Limpopo. Quite a number of provinces are involved. So the issue is that how to bring all the provinces together, sit down so that we agree with a possible way of moving forward. But we are convinced that once it's up and running, honorable members, is going to yield the necessary results which we desire and so on. I'm sure the HOD will respond on other issues, but on the issue of the huge rentals, we are looking at the possibility, Chair, as we are saying, through the PPP and working with the National Department of Public Works in terms of this thing of renting for government offices is becoming a huge cost. Probably is to move away from it and then as government building our own offices. Probably that will assist looking the model of our own government complex in Mpumalang, how much cost was saved by having that building where all departments can be found in one place. This thing of rentals is becoming unsustainable. Because in between you are paying middle people and all those other things and so on. So we are looking for possibility of building a government precinct in the various regions, in particular to host the original offices, district, and the other offices to mitigate to this high cost of rental offices and so on. I must say, Chair, that one of the issues which we have inherited in the province was Mecca. But we are thinking that your suggestion, Chair, of having the AG report might assist because it is shaping up. But the reality is that you can't do it overnight. It's because it has been in a mess for, excuse my language, I'm not sure whether it's parliamentary. It has been in a very difficult position for some time. But we are turning it around. First time, 2016-17, they've got a qualified audit from an adverse disclaimer and so on. Now they are in a qualified audit. So we are moving, turning the corner around this entity and so on. And I must say, Chair, that we have also taken a sort of an aggressive stance around MEC. If you look at their operational budget, when we started as this administration, they were getting almost around 300 million. For 2018-19, we have only gave them 94 million. We are reducing the operational budget because we are saying they must go up there into the market and find money so that they can redefine their existence. So we are moving. It's just that we are moving cautiously, but we are moving. If you look, 300 million now at 94 million as the operational budget in terms of what we are giving them. We are hopeful that with some time, it might not be on our in our time, but we should have laid the correct foundation to turn the corner as part of moving forward and so on. Honorable member, doctor, we so wish that we can keep some of these people, but it seems as if as government we're becoming a training ground. Once people they mature and be able to do things, the private just come and snap them, and we can't compete them because part of the problem is the rigid. Our salary structure is so rigid. Is that the way that you can't pay as they are saying? If you pay for peanuts, you attract monkeys and so on. So I will assume that we don't have much of monkeys these days. We've got quality people who are always being taken away. They can't stay. So as they are stepping up, then they are snapped. They are taken away and so on. And probably also being a rural province, given all other challenges we are having as a province, also professional, they don't find it easy to relocate to the province, to stay there. They would prefer to go to the where there are opportunities, where there's life, sorry to say, and vibe and other things, so that they can be able to do all what they need to do and so on. But I must say, Chair, that the other things, we are taking them home. We are going to work on them, Chair, to ensure that indeed our coming here and your sitting here and your time does pay a dividend. It does not just become a talk show without anything being done. Thank you very much.
Thank you, MEC. One thing I forgot is to link your techno box to your university. Like Stellenbosch, I think that's a model to look at. HOD, I'm going to give you 10 minutes.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Honoured Chair and Honoured Members. There was a question that was asked, what is the impact in the various sectors given the neighbouring countries? We would like to indicate, in particular in education, that with the changes that are there now in the funding of the sector, the introduction of the LURID system, it is a problem that we are beginning to see, and it's an issue that we have raised in our sector engagements with National Trail, that the LURID system or the LURID program wants these young people, these learners, to have ID numbers. We're struggling. They do not have those ones that are coming from neighboring countries like Mozambique, Swaziland. They really don't have, but they're in our schooling system. So it's one of the issues that as treasuries, we are looking at through our national treasury. So definitely there is an impact on our budget for education, honorable members. There was a question that was asked that you are talking about municipalities owing you. What are you owing municipalities and as departments? I was hoping that one that my honorable MEC will indicate with honorable members that we took that to his speech and we put the fear in the hearts of departments that if you don't pay municipalities and you are owing them in excess of 30 days, I will withhold your equitable share. Section 18 of PFMA allows a treasurer to do that. But there are structures in place to assist municipalities as well, honorable members, because the billing is not 100%. One example is our bush park Bushbuck Ridge Municipality. Says, here is a bill, Public Works, Mpumalanga, you owe me 330 million rand. But we engage one another and realize that some of the properties, it was for property rates and taxes, some of the properties are coming from the old Kangwane, Kakasankulu, some belong to traditional councils, some belong to Department of Rural Development and Land Administration, and our Public Works. So when we split those bills, we are able to see exactly that our Public Works indeed owes around 90 million rand. And our Public Works has not adhered to payment plans, repayment plans. So that is being addressed, honorable members. But we are also audited as PFMA institutions, just like the MFMA. That's what we have said to our municipalities. So we split the bill. It is now correct. And even the national department in our province, Rural Development, paid us 78 million rand around February for Bushbuck Ridge Municipality, 10 million, 26 million. So even national departments are coming together with us and engaging our municipalities and our departments. But departments now know that if we don't pay, the equitable share will flow to a municipality instead of a department. It is something that was presented at a legislature. It's a commitment that was made at that highest structure. In health and education, the head offices have paid their bills, honorable members. However, the clinics in health and hospitals are still a problem that we're attending to, and education in terms of schools. Also, in the tabling of the main appropriation, not mainly the policy and budget, the commitment that was made there by our honorable MEC was education. You have to change the model of taking the paper budget to schools and then later on blame them. Rather, keep the paper budget with you for the services in particular. Pay for your institutions, because we give you a budget, the budget is transparent enough, it's gazetted as per the Division of Revenue Act to a school, to a hospital. Therefore, keep the paper budget with head office, and then allow the schools to run the other work. So that's what's happening on our report train on the members. And the disclosures, we've also, as your provincial treasurer, insisted on a disclosure requirement in this financial statement. That's part of the notes that says even unconfirmed balances, disclose them. So we made our departments to disclose even those amounts that they may feel that at this point have not been confirmed. So that's the work that is being done, so that we don't owe the municipalities for services. But the billing, we are indicating the billing needs to be improved in municipalities, because no one must pay for something that is not due and payable to the other part. But there are intergovernmental sessions in our province to deal with that. Maybe the last one, on Member C, we are requesting perhaps that when we look at the adjustments, we have tried in our report to say what is the split. Indeed, it's on infrastructure, but a portion of that goes to compensation. It was not added during adjustments. So maybe when we share our report with our colleagues, they will see the actual adjustment in the province. The challenges were in three votes, and we indicate around infrastructure. But compensation is really from the savings of a moratorium. And we're asked to talk to that accumulated accruals increase. I think that one was not put correctly. When my colleague presented, she did put it correctly that in education they decreased from the 327 that was there in 2016-17 to around 95 million now. And it's indeed cash-backed, fully cash-backed, and within 30 days in education. Thank you, sir. I hope I covered everything.
You done? You're done. Honourable members, thank you. Out of the engagements, it's very clear to me that we have to look at our constituency work and visit our clinics, hospitals, schools more regularly and see what is the challenges, register the challenge immediately with your MEC in your province.
You can send the email from your cell phone to your MEC. Follow it up immediately with a phone call. And sensitize your colleagues in the provincial legislature. And I'm not talking to myself as well. And that can be part of the solution to assist those people working in those facilities to get a better working environment. Is the money being spent wisely? Is the roof leaking? What's happening? Is the roof going to be fixed in a clinic? It's crucial because the water can't drip on equipment in that room. It's a simple thing, but it can be critical. So at the end of the day, the finger also points to us. But it is our role to hold the executive accountable, national, provincial, as well as the local sphere of government. So thank you, MEC, for your presentation, honoring this engagement. We appreciate that with your team, HUD. Also to National Treasury, Mrs. Gerekwa will now depart on writing her exams, and we wish her well, and do very well, and come and inform us of the results. Maybe one day she will be here with a PhD, and then we call her Dr. Gerekwa. Yeah. Honourable members, thank you. Tomorrow is appropriations, 10 o'clock. Next week, Tuesday, we will engage with Free State. There will be an acting MEC. We're still waiting to hear who the person will be, as well as KZN. KZN is coming. And then Gauteng we will try to fit in before we adjourn or rise on the 29th of June. That our report will be drafted during the July period, and we consider a report when we come back in August. Returning date? 31st of July 2018. We hit the road running. We've got a packed program for the third term. There's no time off. We will just add on. With that, honorable members, this meeting is closed and adjourned. Thank you.